Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, with my friend, Donna Otto, author of a very useful, very necessary book called The Stay-at-Home Mom. Donna, one of the biggest questions that comes to me when I talk about Titus 2, 3-5, which says that I, as an older woman, am specifically to tell women to stay home, people say that's impossible. In this day and age, no family can survive without two incomes. What do you say?
I hear the same. I say a variety of things. One of the things that I'm eager to say is that we do exactly what we want to do. And we spend our money the same way. I remember in raising my daughter, she would say, I can't afford it. And that was always a phrase that bothered me. And I was quick to let her know. As you know, I'm quick to let people know what I think. Because it wasn't true. It's just not honest. When you say, I can't afford it, we afford exactly what we want. The other thing that I try to acknowledge is that there really are some economics in living in America today that a family can't control. For example, the cost of income tax. When the income tax program was initiated in our country, the percentage of income tax paid by a family was 0.003%.
Really?
And today, the average family, we're not talking about at what category they are, what income level they are, the average family pays between 20 and 24% of their income to taxes. So when a family says, this is hard, this is tough, I acknowledge that, and some of that, it's really out of their control. We hear an awful lot about health care costs and the cost of just living today. But at the same time, I know, and I know you do too, the myriads of women, husbands and wives and families who have made a real sacrifice, a personal sacrifice, a life choice to live within their means, whatever that is, true contentment, which is great gain according to God's word. And the problem with the economics comes with the choices we've been told we should make. One of my favorites is I hear women all across America say that they need to own a home. And we are very blessed to own our home, and I'm grateful for that. But I really believe the truth is that that's the American dream. That's not God's dream. It doesn't say anywhere in God's word that to be a happy family in Christ is to own home or own our property. And does that mean that I might live my whole life in an apartment? Yes, it might mean that if what it meant was that I could provide for my children what God's asking. A few decades ago, we had leaders in our country, Samuel Gompers, who fought for, quote, a living wage for a man, and Henry Ford, who called for a family wage, and I will quote, he said, which he said was necessary to, quote, avoid the hideous prospect of little children and their mothers being forced out to work. I mentioned to you this at the break, a man who wrote me and asked his boss, had told me the story that he had asked his boss for a raise. And when he asked the boss for the raise, the boss's first response was, your wife can get a job. No, you can't have a raise, your wife can get a job. So the economics are right out there. It makes a difficult choice for parents. I think there are a couple of things that we should consider. First of all, how much money are we actually bringing in if a wife is working? And now I'm talking to the woman, of which I know you meet myriads of them, I do. Women who tell me they work, and some of them who tell me sort of proudly that they work and they get it all done. But I have never yet met a woman who told me she works, who has small children at home, who when I talk to her one-on-one, she doesn't, within a few minutes, confide in me that she feels exhausted and stressed, and she's confident she's not doing a good job in any area. a woman on the plane who just burst into tears. I'd never met her before. She said, I am so stressed out. My marriage is in a stressful position and I'm concerned for it. And she went down the list. But I respond by that by saying a couple of things we need to consider. First of all, if you're working, do you know how much discretionary income you're making? We had a financial advisor in our community who did a little worksheet for me. And he said, from our research, the average woman makes about $15,000 a year. And after she's paid taxes and transportation and child care. Now, we're not talking additional clothing or eating out. Oh, yeah. None of the dry cleaning. None of that. When she is through, she brings home $43.75 a week discretionary income. Now, for
it's incredible.
All the crafters there are in the world and all of the things that you can do at home, I mean, shirts today, a man's shirt at a dry cleaner cost $1.75 to be washed and dried and pressed and sent back. So how many shirts would that take? How's my math? Terrible. At $43 a week, how many shirts would I have to do to make $43? Not too many shirts. Versus getting up and going to work and being away from our home. So I think they need to first ascertain how much real discretionary money is being brought into the home. And then secondly, to get a plan to transition from where they are. That may mean selling a home. You told the story of the family who sold their home in record time, and God provided another equally as large. And I've heard many stories like that, and women who sold their car. And a woman called me one day and she said, I'm going to take your advice. I told my husband I wanted to quit my job. And he said, who will make the car payment? And the next words out of my mouth was, sell the car. And she said, I had this drained panic feeling come all over me. She said, I realized what I was giving up was my freedom. No longer going to work every day, no longer having my own car to get around. But she said, I want to keep in touch. And about the end of 3 years, we had had a regular contact, and the blessings that she had seen in her home, God's hand and God's work in her children's lives, in her husband, marriage, in their home. And so make a transitional plan if you're desiring to get a home. Lay down a plan that says, how much do I have to cut back in every area? And then, I would refer to you who has said so many times about learning the difference between need and want. And how your parents were so wonderful in training you to know the difference and to be frugal. Waste not, want not. We waste an awful lot of what we have. And when we're in a hurry, we waste more.
So what can a woman learn when she stays home? What do these stay-at-home moms gain?
I have to tell you, Elizabeth, it's hard for me to receive a question from you because I know you have the answers in your heart. I've learned many of them from you. I think the most significant thing that a woman learns is trust. She learns that the choice that she's made to sacrifice, and it is a great personal sacrifice. Today, a woman invests in a college degree for the purpose of a career, not for the purpose of knowledge. Sometimes they go into professions that they have advanced degrees, and now they've taken the choice to be at home. So they've made a great sacrifice. But she learns to trust that the God who she's chosen to serve will meet these needs. She learns to declare her dependency on that God every morning. There are days, and you know it, we're talking about your grandchildren who I have the privilege of spending some time with, and there are days, and I know that a mother doesn't know whether she should get in the playpen or she should put the children in the playpen, you know? Those are the days when you declare dependency on God. But when we're talking about economics, it is a matter of saying, I do this in obedience to you. I don't know how that bottom line figure is going to make it at the end of every month. And I wish I had all day to read some of the stories of women who have written me and said, my husband's a school teacher, and he told me that the next increase was 5 years away. They initiated a new program. 3 months after I quit work, he had to take a 12-week course and write a paper, and he was increased $4,000 a year. They kept track for the first 1 year she was off work, and they made, in unusual ways, money came into their home, up to $1,000 of what she had made the year before. That is God.
That's the way God does things.
Yes.
Him that honoreth me, I will honor. And a woman who has the courage and the willingness to obey God, to stay home, is honoring God, isn't she, Donna?
She absolutely is. And for those women who have husbands who have not yet made that declaration of dependency, I know it's hard to go to work every day, but it is a submissive place, and God will honor that as well. He will honor that.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Donna Otto, author of a book called The Stay-at-Home Mom. I recommend it to you. And I do want to challenge you men who have been listening to this program. I really doubt that there's a man out there who has a family who doesn't really wish that it were possible for his wife to stay home, but perhaps the most important thing in your mind is the money. And my heart does go out to men, realizing what a tremendous burden is laid upon them to provide for a family. It's scary. But you've been talking about trust, Donna, and I just can't underline and agree more heartily and emphatically that when we literally fling ourselves against the rock, which is God and God's faithfulness, He meets us. Mm-hmm. And obedience is what He's looking for. He has promised to provide our needs. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. Thank you, Donna Otto.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.